DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
And welcome to Not Another Podcast. First of all, we're gonna apologize for not being around for a month.
It's all James's fault.
It's Danny's fault.
James.
Danny.
James.
Danny.
James.
It's also Samantha because she bought a house.
Bitch.
I did.
How are you
doing? And I didn't
have
internet for a week and I was losing my mind. I racked up so much overage charges on my phone. I tried not to use it. I did a lot of reading, like when I wasn't unpacking stuff. But at the same time, I was like, I do all the social media, I do a large majority of the social media for Radio Hour. So I was like, I need to be using this, this, and that. I have no internet. Screw it.
And then there's that twitch in her eyes. She starts thinking about stuff she wants to look up, and it's only on the internet.
Uh-huh.
The internet runs our lives.
It really does.
Now I gotta look up stuff in books.
I, for one, am welcoming our new internet overlords. So, okay, so a lot of you have wondered what the hell happened, why we were off the air.
Nobody's wondering.
For a month. One person.
There's like one person.
I know there's one person out there who's probably called you a few times. What's going on?
He only called me once.
That's once.
Yeah. After that, it was like, man, whatever, fuck it.
I got other shit to listen to. No, there are people that have are wondering, and I'm going to explain it to you. Just over a month ago, I slipped a disc in my neck. And it fucking hurt. I have since been put on like sort of this medical light duty thing. So my work involves a lot of the same stuff that I do during the podcast. So pretty much when I went to work, that was it for the day. I couldn't come home and do more stuff. And I do a lot of stuff like Samantha. I do a lot of stuff on the internet, and that's a lot of repetitive motion. And it really was killing my shoulder and arm and neck. So. Yeah. Today was the first day. Well, actually, yesterday was the first day I felt well enough to do a podcast. The trouble is, I had to wait 24 hours, and now I'm feeling kind of shitty. So,
I'm sending you a hug via the internet.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
A very light hug. Suck it up.
But it's one of those things. It's just a really long road to recovery, and part of that is because I took so long before I went and saw doctors to get it fixed. Funny story. When I did go to the doctor, it was to the emergency room, and it was like the worst night of my life. 2 days later, because of the notes they sent me, I had a question, so I contacted the advice nurse, and she thought I was having a stroke based on the one symptom I was having. So they sent me to the emergency room again. I was not having a stroke.
Good.
So I'm trying to figure out if I should sue or not. But always sue. I don't know.
I don't know how all that works.
Speaking of law stuff, and I really wish Bryce was here.
Hospitals really want their money.
Apparently someone's trying to rip us off.
Yeah, the dirty fuckers.
Or make money off of our name, at least.
Yeah, I still don't quite understand what the hell is going on, but I trust Bryce.
I totally trust Bryce.
We've done because after Bryce told us about that, I went and looked up all of IABD Presents podcasts. Five of like our eight network podcasts were on there, and two more since yesterday. So now seven. so all of our podcasts are on there.
Do you know what this site is doing exactly? Because I haven't had a chance to go on and listen to it, but it sounds like they're taking our stuff and splicing in commercials for their product or something like that.
So what I some of the research I've done, and the owner of Presents did a lot of research. We're actually not we've chosen not to take any action yet because we want to really understand what's happening before we, you know, and that's why I was asking Bryce all those questions. And so the original of what I heard was happening is that they're a podcast catcher, and things like Stitcher and Spotify are also catch RSS feeds, but they don't, I don't fully understand the difference, but they're taking people's RSS feeds. They're not linking back to the original action, to the original place they got them from.
Okay.
So if you wanted to hear more, or check out these people's websites, they're not linking anything back to the main and primary RSS feed.
Well, that's just bullshit.
So, but apparently that's being fixed. That's what I'm being told, is that it's being fixed. So it will at some point. Now, what I have heard and what I have seen on comments online is that Luminary is editing out, like, our calls to action. So when we say, go to our website to do this, head to our Patreon page for that, da-da-da-da, they're editing all of our personal calls to action out and replacing it with theirs.
Hmm.
And they want to be like the Netflix of podcasts, so they're charging like $7.99 a month for all of these. So they want people to pay for these, for their service, but they're not paying anyone to use their podcasts.
Well, they're also not paying for the content that they're stealing.
That's, that's coming in on like copyright infringement.
Yeah.
Well, hey, they can edit this out. Not Another Podcast is on iTunes. Anywhere you want to get us, just look us up, goddammit.
Well, here's one. This isn't even a call to action. You can pay for Luminary service to get our stuff, or you can go to our website and just get it for free.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly.
And I didn't mention where to go or anything.
We just give this shit away.
So, I mean, it's up to you. Do you want to spend the money, or do you want to get it for free?
And let's be honest. It ain't worth spending money on.
If you're paying a buck for this, you're overpaying.
Seriously.
Well, I don't know if what's happening is illegal. I don't know if what's happening is, like, I don't know any of that half of it. Now, they could have just
started this
half-cocked and not thought it through, or they could be doing something shady. I don't know.
I do know this from my own experience. Everything that we do is copyright belonging mm-hmm. to Not Another Podcast. That's
right.
Just mm-hmm. that's just what it is. So if we as Not Another Podcast went and said, hey, take it down, and they didn't, we could actually
file suit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So Bryce has already put forth the request to cease and desist and get rid of all of our stuff off their
site. He has to follow the – he has to wait till Wednesday to be able to do that. Now, he's not doing the cease and desist you have to follow the you have to follow the website's removal policy. So he's done that.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's put in the request. He's got to wait a couple of days.
And
yeah.
Once if it doesn't happen,
right. Then he contacts the lawyer to send the cease and desist.
So, I mean, Bryce is on top of it. God bless him for it.
No shit.
I would have no idea.
Right?
But now it's like I've had this urge to go on and look. Okay, where else are we that I don't want us to be?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I've had that happen with fiction I've written.
We're not on conservative radio. I'm pretty certain of that.
Really? Are you sure?
What?
We're pretty conservative.
We are a GOP are we? Gold mine.
We
are we, though?
We are the golden child of the GOP. We are the podcast they hold up as the champion of their cause. God bless Donald J. Trump and his agenda. May he reign forever.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I almost said that with a straight face.
Almost. Almost.
That really hurt. That hurt.
There's a part of your brain that just went...
A little part of me died. I think it was in my shoulder.
A piece of your hair went straw-like, just like his.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a major clusterfuck over the last month.
Yeah, well, okay. God, we have not been on, and I've wanted to... And again, I really wish Bryce were here, because I know he's been following this like gangbusters. So, we finally... After 2 years of waiting, got the Mueller report.
Mm-hmm.
And did either of you read it?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't go through the, what is it, 200 or 400 pages?
400.
448 pages.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
You can buy it on Amazon.
Which is hilarious.
That's fantastic. Where does the money go? Like, that's what I want to know.
To Trump's re-election campaign. So immediately, William Barr?
Yeah. Yes.
Attorney General Barr.
Yeah.
Puts out this three-page summary of 400 pages. And immediately Democrats are like, there's no way you can sum up 400 pages in like a three-page memo. There's no way.
Right.
Well, after he released that, it turned out that he gave a three-page summary off of a summary of the full report. So he didn't even see the full report when he made that summary.
Just chopping it down to its base points. He's a dick. In so big, bold letters with a picture on
it. He basically comes out and says that the report exonerates Trump. There was no obstruction, no collusion. Which, by the way, I heard Trump say that today, and it sounded like a song. And I was like, ooh, I love that song. He was like, no collusion, no collusion, no obstruction,
just
no obstruction.
Auto-tune that shit and sell it on iTunes. Or Luminary, whatever.
Just remix it.
Kind of surprised YouTube hasn't jumped on that.
I'm sure someone has. Anyway, so Democrats start pushing. We want the report. We want to be able to read the report. So Barr finally caves, and he gives a redacted version of it.
Boo.
And from what I understand, it kind of made sense for the redactions. There's a lot of shit in there that, if it got out, could jeopardize the actual lives of certain people.
Well, yeah, there's things that are under current investigation that are not wrapped up yet.
So,
like, cool, fine.
In that report. I get it. For the general public, it makes sense. But for Congress,
man, fuck you guys.
They should fucking
read it.
Get the full thing.
So yeah, well, what's funny is Congress is like, you know, we started like all of these investigations. We already know where they are. You don't have to redact it for us.
My understanding, though, from what's come out is the redactions are hiding things.
Of course they are.
The Democrats already fucking know, so they're like, we want it. So Barr goes out and he does this. The day he releases the redacted report, he comes out and basically says, look, here's all the redactions I made. Here's why. And he gives this fucking like gospel preaching, like, this is the report. Live by the report. Everything's good. No collusion. No obstruction. Come to find out, though, that's not really what the report says.
No.
The report actually says there's not enough proof to say, or we don't have enough information due to the uncooperative nature of certain parties. We can't say one way or the other if there was collusion or obstruction. If there was collusion.
Right.
There is obstruction.
Yes.
And they're detailed on pages, blah, 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 blah. They're highlighted on pages.
See, and I got the chopped down version, basically like the heavy bullet point version. I think our buddy Steve posted that up, and that's what I saw. But yeah, I as much as I want to read up on how horrendous this man is.
It is a long, dry. I read through the chapter of contents because I wanted to get an idea of what was in it.
Well, it's reading a legal document, for fuck's sake. It's...
Yeah. I think I might have downloaded it. I'll have to look because I think I downloaded it and then went on to the next project, so completely forgot that I had it. But I did go through the table of contents because I wanted to get an idea of what this report looked like.
Right.
Table of contents was 5 pages long.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And the table of contents was redacted. The fucking table of contents was redacted.
One of them just says Trump's crimes.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah. There was like, you read down and it's like, okay, there's like 10 chapters, blah, 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 blah. Chapter 11, redacted for blah, 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 blah.
God.
Another 3 chapters, redacted for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and it's kind of cool because it gives you like this code that you can go up to. Is, oh, it's redacted because of this. It's redacted because of this.
Uh-huh.
Table of fucking contents is redacted.
They don't want you to know about the stuff
those
that could have been read.
Those are the chapters I
want to
read.
Fuck real, dude. Never knew black marker over words would make me so intrigued on what's the content.
So last I heard, the Democrats are pushing to get the unredacted version. Barr is potentially going to have to sit in front of a Democratic congressional hearing and answer a lot of questions, and he's fighting back. The Dems have also been pushing certain financial institutes to get Trump's financial records.
Right.
He's trying to fight back on that, and he's starting to lose. He's unraveling quickly. The problem I see with this, though, because the Mueller report didn't come out straight up and say, hey, fucker's guilty of obstruction.
Right.
But kind of went, oh, I'm going to leave it up to Congress to decide. Mueller should have just said, look, here's the obstruction. Here it is, straight up. I can't prove collusion.
Right.
And they can't prove collusion, and this is the best part. They can't prove collusion because the people involved were so fucking stupid. And I think Stephen Colbert pointed it out, and it's like all these things that they did and the way they kind of skirted the law because of their stupidity.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, stupid people committing crimes but getting off because of stupidity.
Failing upwards.
I want to commit a crime and then go before the judge and go,
I don't know.
I plead stupidity.
I'll have two tacos, a large fry, and
my
a slushie.
My real name is Eric Trump.
And... oh, wait, this isn't the drive-thru? Fuck. I'm hungry now.
So the collusion thing is completely up in the air. No one knows for sure, but we know.
Right.
They fucking colluded with Russia. All the meetings and shit. It's just we can't nail them to the wall because of their own stupidity. Don't know how that works. But the obstruction, it looks like, was fucking black and white, but Mueller was just like, I'm going to leave it up to the Attorney General. The Attorney General is in fucking Trump's back pocket.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, I'm starting to.
If Sessions hadn't been fired or resigned or whatever happened with that.
No.
We might be having a completely different conversation because Sessions, even though he was a Trump man, was very much a justice man.
Right.
And I don't think Sessions would have backed down from Trump on this. I don't know.
I'm starting to feel like, you know, by the time the dust officially settles on this whole debauchery, it's going to be election year and nobody's going to give too much of a shit.
No, see, here's the problem. All of this shit is just firing up his base more.
No.
And it's bringing people who are on the fence more to his side. He's the way I see it right now, he's clinched the 2020 election. We're stuck with him for another 6 years, 5 years.
6 years, unofficially.
So, I mean, I hate to say it, but we fucking lost. And we fucking lost because the people who we were counting on to do their jobs didn't do their jobs.
Yep.
And let's face it, even though Trump's an idiot, he does surround himself with the fucking worst of the worst. People that fucking know the system. And even worse, he's pulled fucking Goebbels thing from World War II. He's got the media.
Yeah. Well, and
he fucking runs the media between his Twitter and all the shit on Fox and the conservative outlets.
Right.
And the fact that he's labeled the media the fake news, no one trusts them. The news outlets don't have the trust that they once did. And it's going to take years to fucking repair that.
Yeah, and you know, this kind of heralds back to my sentiments when he first got in. It's like, honestly, you know, everyone was super excited about the ideas of potentially ousting him for all of his illegal bullshit or, you know, his sexual predatorness or whatever and trying to get him impeached. And I'm going to call it I told you so because I knew back then that no matter how much shit they would hold on him, he's going to get by. They're never going to be able to hold anything to him.
Impeachment's not going to do shit. Impeachment is just a black mark on his record. They need to get him on something that is fucking illegal, and they need to indict him, and they need to get him out of office.
They have far too many Superman lawyers on his side.
On top of it, there's a lot of infighting with the Dems right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is due to Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I like the lady.
I do too.
But I think she's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
But I do have hope.
Well.
Because there's a few freshman congresspeople, like AOC, fucking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. If that woman sticks to her guns, and we get more people like her that are like holding other congresspeople accountable,
I'd be okay with that.
There's serious change on the horizon with people like that. We need more people like that. We need them fired up. We need them passionate. And we need them honest.
Yeah.
And right now, she's all three of those.
All right.
But this is also her first term.
That's
fair.
The
problem is she's creating so many waves. And it's kind of – it's polarizing people in a way that Hillary used to polarize people.
Yeah, that's fair. And look how well that worked out for her.
Exactly. So my hope is that we get more people like her and we get more people fired up and saying exactly what's wrong
and with calling people out on their bullshit
and holding them accountable.
Which would be nice, but again, as we are all too aware of how government in this country works, it's nice to think about.
I still feel like we're on the verge of change. Not as close as I thought we were. And who knows? We've still got a whole fucking election year.
Yeah.
People are starting to ramp up their campaigns now.
I am not looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. Like, it's not over till it's over, you know?
Exactly.
2020 is coming. it's like winter. So it's
the Orange Walker is a...
Oh, my God, that's funny. Which HBO had to tell him again to stop using their Game of Thrones font.
The wig king.
Uh-huh. They've told him like three times to stop using their font.
He doesn't fucking care.
No, he doesn't.
No, because he's a dick. Anyway, so it's not over till it's over. Now you say it's his in 2020. We've lost. It's done. No, or I don't feel that way. I really feel as long as people who tend to vote. Okay, I have a strong feeling that in 2016, an independent vote, a third party vote, was a vote for Trump because you split, that voting from the Democrats, and Trump lost the popular vote anyway, and just all that stuff. So
I genuinely
feel as long as the vote isn't split between Democrat and independent, because that's how he's going to win.
Well,
we can't allow that to happen. One, there's no, we can't split the Democratic vote to give it to Trump again.
Well, and here's a couple interesting things to keep in mind. Number one, the Democrats are coming hard. There are so many people throwing their hat in the ring. Problem is the field
19
is
or 20?
So wide and so, spread out that it's like they need to sit down and go, okay, who are the people with the best chance not only to lead us, but lead the country and face down Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And they will.
That's the thing. You've got to best him in the debates. You have to best him in the debates. Hillary didn't do it.
Right.
She couldn't do it. He's far too charismatic, and he's far too much of a showman.
And
and that's the thing. They underestimated they underestimated their enemy.
Oh, big time. So,
but now we know all the cards that he plays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's a couple guys that are coming up on the field that I'm intrigued by. And I'll call him out. Joe Biden finally announced that he's going. I love Joe Biden, but I don't think he's presidential material.
I don't know about that. I mean,
he's a little long in the tooth.
He is.
He's a great politician. He's a career politician. I like that. And I like that he seems to be a straight shooter to me.
Right.
And he's calling Trump out on his bullshit. The problem is he's not talking policy either.
Yeah.
You need to talk policy. And especially now, you need to talk policy.
Well, and that's one of my big issues I have with election year in general is it's like I always hear shit slinging. And that's the majority
politics
of the campaign.
Is a fucking dirty game.
And that's it. And it's like that's what bugs me about politics in general, especially election year. It's like I don't necessarily give two shits about this guy. I don't want you to talk about him. He's going to spend all of his time talking about himself, which is going to gain him more favor because he's going to be talking about what he's going to be doing if he's on the receiving end of the shit-slinging. Now, in vice versa,
and that,
all I've ever wanted out of a politician running for president is like, okay, what is your plan to do better than your predecessors? You know, what is your plan to do things in a better way? And unfortunately, with Trump,
because of Trump bullshit and the way he runs things, the opposition really has no choice.
Right.
You have to one up. My personal choice is if we're going to play this down and dirty, that when you do get into office, you go, okay, that shit's done.
Right.
I won. Now here's what I'm going to do. And I want you to do better than the last guy. Now,
right.
Here's a couple of things. Now we got Joe Biden again. I think he'd be a strong candidate. I'm not sure about him as president. I could be wrong, but again, it's very early.
Isn't Big Bern running again?
That was my next guy. Bernie Sanders is trying it again. I think after what happened to him last time, he would have been better off staying out.
I can agree with that, but at the same time,
he's got a lot of really good ideas. He's got a following.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know if he can match Trump in the debates.
Exactly. Biden, I think, can.
Well, just because Sanders is – he's kind of full of piss and vinegar when, you know, you get him rattled up.
But the thing is
Trump rattles
come,
people better than
and
anybody.
And he's going to come at Bernie hard.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
But at the same time, at the same time, when you challenge Trump on things, he breaks down like a bitch, too. Just watch what happened when Acosta was talking to him, and he was pacing all agitated like a toothless lion in a cage.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a child.
I mean, he's a bitch, so...
Yeah, but the thing is I think Biden would keep his cool.
No, he wouldn't. It would be two 70-some-year-old men screaming at each other. I mean, all we need are bowls of cream of wheat and pudding, and then, you know.
Pudding!
I adore Bernie, but he's got great, wonderful, progressive ideas, but he also has zero clue as to how to pay for them.
Yeah, that's fair. But at the same time, I think even Sanders understands a basic concept that, you know, there's a lot of misspending in Washington.
He understands how politics work. He understands how to, and he knows that we have allies and people who are not allies. He knows the difference between a leader and a dictator. He knows, you know, all the basic shit that we learn in fifth grade.
But that's what I'm saying. So I think he would understand the concept of, you know, trying to cut things out of Washington that have been getting paid for fucking decades. And that in and of itself should be able to pay for some of the things that he's talking about doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he kind of stands on his platform about it. It's like, you know.
But he needs to lay it out.
True. Very true. Well, and it would be nice if he had a bit more control about it.
I think Bernie knows where he's going to get the money from, but he can't say because the place he gets his money from is the people donating to him. I think Bernie's very much like, okay, I get into office, I'm changing the tax code, and the rich are going to fucking pay their fair share, and that's how I'm going to pay for these fucking programs I want to do. And he can't say that because then he loses the fucking
vote. The rich vote.
And the campaign
Well, but
money.
Here's the thing. You can say that because Elizabeth Warren has said it.
Yeah,
she laid out her policy as to how to do it, how much money it's going to create. She laid it all out.
And how much money has her campaign
gone? And people keep saying women are too emotional. They can't be president. All these women have been cool, calm, and collected. They have laid out policy. They are talking policy. And then we have these men over here. They're just screaming at each other, talking about punching each other in the face.
And don't get me wrong.
And they're the ones we're watching. Like, come on.
Of all the candidates, Elizabeth Warren is one of my favorites because I think she's really fucking smart. And I think she understands how to make this country great again.
Yeah.
Because she laid it out like a year or so ago. I saw this video of her laying out exactly when the shift in the classes changed.
Right.
And it was right around the 1970s when the fucking – or no, I'm sorry, 1980 when Ronald Reagan took money out of infrastructure.
Yep.
And stopped – and she laid it out and it was beautiful. And I recommend looking it up on YouTube and just listening to her lay out how this shift in the classes and the rich and poor.
Right.
And it was beautiful. And I think if she can shift it back, you're going to see a huge change in not just the middle class,
right,
but the poor and rich as well. And you're going to see this country become good again.
Well, and you know, a little side note, I've been having some issues with that statement in and of itself. I've been trying real hard over these last few months to try to figure out when exactly this country was great. This and I'm having a fucker of a time figuring it out. Like, we have isolated spans of a few years that we are genuinely doing good, and we're genuinely trying to help one another and genuinely trying to be the country that we were thought of back in the day. But to be quite fair, we've never really been great. We've been better than some, but not great.
One of the peak moments for America as far as greatness goes was 1945 to 1955. In that 10-year span, you had a lot of changes in industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was fallout from World War II.
Naturally.
The fact that, A, women were allowed – not allowed, but really joined the workforce, not just because, you know, there weren't men, so they – you know, we're in factories and stuff, but men came back and women said, you know what? We kind of like working.
Yeah.
And people were like,
and I thought about that, but to be quite honest, it wasn't great then either.
Every moment of greatness has points of darkness.
Right.
I think this, when this country thrives, if you take away the points of, because I'm going to be honest, too, that 1945 to 1955, you had a lot of racist shit going on.
Horrendous amounts
of it. One of our darkest periods as far as the race wars goes,
mm-hmm,
is that same period.
Also, it kickstarted the Cold War because nuclear weapons became much more of a thing.
Well,
and then
that,
the red threat came in.
Russia was our ally, but then they went to communism, and it's a whole thing.
Again, it's one of those things where it's like,
but when you look at when the country thrives industrially and economically,
right,
that's one of our strongest periods of time.
Yeah. And again, I look at countries like,
but it took a fucking war to make that happen.
Well, and then I look at, you know, other countries and try to figure out what is the adherable difference between other countries, you know, periods of greatness versus ours.
I think,
and I look at places like Switzerland, and it's like, you know,
yeah, but they have dark periods too.
Of course they do, but they're old.
Their fucking full history.
They're fucking ancient comparatively.
So is fucking Britain, and they've had fucking amazing periods prosperity.
So the thing is,
points of darkness.
Go for it.
Everyone's definition of great is different.
True.
Exactly.
Every individual's definition of great is different. So some people will classify the country as we were great when we were industrially well off. Yeah, someone else will classify it as we were great when we were progressive and women and race and LGBT, you know, Q community, when those people could when those communities could rise up and be part of society and accept it. Other, you know, so it's different for everyone.
Right.
And it's because we're going to ebb and flow. We're going to go up and down. Like, it's never going to be great all the time. That's not possible.
So I guess my question then becomes, what is it that we are trying to make this country?
I think we're at a point right now in our history where we're looking back at all the great periods and we want to combine them all. We want it all at once.
Yeah.
We want the economic prosperity. We want the thriving communities. We want the acceptance. We want racism gone. We want hatred gone. But there's so many people on the opposite that think, no, this country was great because of the racism, because of the hate. We want all this bullshit out.
Right.
Because they're uneducated and they don't realize that those people that they hate
are what made
are
this country
such a crucial part of what makes this country great. This country is truly great when it is unified.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll point it out
and
right
accepting
now. One of the brightest spots in this country's history was right after 9/11.
This country, except if you were a Muslim.
Exactly.
Or of brownish descent.
But even those people who lived here and were part of this country were like, no, you can't do that. This is our home. This is now the unfortunate side effect of that was the Muslim community was targeted. Why? Because it was
popular opinion that it was just
a foreign Muslim community.
And again, talk to any real Muslim and they're like, they were not Muslims.
Black people from Africa, blacks would have been under the radar.
Again.
Had it been people from Mexico, Mexicans would have been under the radar.
Again.
Right now, Mexicans are being targeted because, let's face it, we do have an immigration problem in this country. I hate to say it, but it's true. We do.
I classify that problem as something else.
To it, but though. I really do think.
Well, and we've had that conversation before.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I don't know how it would be implemented, but I really think that if we put together something like we've talked about on a previous episode, where you come to this country on a work visa or something, and you earn the right to be here.
Yeah.
The problem is when you come over illegally, it puts taxes. It pulls on systems that we have in place, and it makes it difficult for the rest of the country.
All right.
And there's a lot of this crap. I see fucking memes for it all the time. It's like, oh, people who go on welfare should have to do drug tests and stuff. I'll have you know, my mother was on welfare because she couldn't get a job for a long time, and it was the only way we lived.
Right.
She wasn't on drugs. She was just a single mother.
Right. Trying to get down and out, and that's the whole point.
I know there's people who
abuse the system.
Abuse the system.
Naturally.
I get it. But to make everyone, to punish everyone.
Right.
Just because they can't make ends meet.
Right.
It doesn't work for me. I don't like that.
Right. No, because and I'm with you on that.
That's saying that everyone who needs food stamps is a fucking drug user. That's bullshit.
Right.
Now, I will say that if you can't prove your citizenship, you shouldn't get benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can adhere with that. Because that is kind of what, you know, a part of our taxes
and
go into.
I will say that if you're busted for drugs, you can't get welfare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be really simple.
Because I agree with people in welfare need to take drug tests. But I do agree with you that there's a large majority of people, because it's always like the one or two bad seeds that, you know, make it bad for everyone else.
Everyone, yeah.
So I do agree with you that it sucks for everyone. But, you know, maybe don't make it for everyone. Make it for people who have a history of it, you know. But there has to be some sort of accountability because – you know, you see those people on, like, there's this woman on YouTube. What is it? She was on one of those, like, I don't know, TLC or Lifetime shows talking about how she plays the system. And she's like, oh, I don't work. And like her, you know, and I'm just like, wow. Okay. So I don't know. I agree with the drug test, but I do agree that it's not for everyone. So you have to make a plan.
I think there's ways to put policies in place to have people be accountable.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I know when I was unemployed, I had to file each week when I, you know, tried to get my benefits, and I had to provide proof that I was looking for work.
Right.
I had to provide contacts for every job I had applied to. So if they wanted to, they could check and say, hey, did you get a resume from this person or did you, you know, get a phone call?
Right.
And I kept scrupulous notes. Every time I sent out a resume, I made sure to copy and paste that address and the company and where it was and all that stuff. So when I filled out my stuff, it was just, here's a spreadsheet of every place. And I was turning in like 100+ employers each week. So I kept my benefits for the full run and even got an extension. And I hated it.
Right.
It sucks.
But it's necessary.
And
that's
was,
what
was
it's
like,
supposed to be there for.
And it was, for me, it was like, it was so depressing when I would apply for like a gas station.
Yep.
And they would say no.
No.
And I had to go to the unemployment and say, look, I applied here. They said no.
Yeah. And you sucks, man.
And then it's up to the employment office to go, well, why did you say no? And they come back and go, well, he's really overqualified.
And that's something in and of itself that bugs me.
That's,
Of the job market, it's like, in the hell do you justify saying no to someone who would be considered overqualified, but you want somebody who is fresh-faced and doesn't know their armpits from their asshole?
Here's why.
Pay. It's about pay.
Exactly.
If someone's overqualified, then you can ask for more money because you're overqualified.
But if you're
someone... they want someone underqualified or at the specific qualifications, they can give them as little money as possible.
But at the same time, if you post up a job listing and you say, hey, this job pays minimum wage, and you still voluntarily put in the application for it, isn't that, in my opinion, an acceptance of the job rate as advertised?
And I
agree with you. With you.
And at that, it's like,
you're long run, soon are they going to ask for a raise?
Exactly.
Are they, you know, all that stuff.
Again,
so am I going to have to consider that?
The
so.
Job as advertised. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things like with my company, you know, we have the ability to move to just about any job throughout the company. And when we move to a job that, let's say, for instance, like mine, in pay grade 6, no matter how many times you ask or how qualified or overqualified you are, you're only getting pay grade 6. That's it. There is no more negotiations for it. There is no talks about it. There is nothing.
You need to apply for a different department.
A different job. And that different job will be graded as per what they feel it is, you know, worth. So again, for me, it boggles my mind to be overqualified for something. It's like, well, fuck you, dude. I've never done this job before. How the hell could I be overqualified for this? I mean, yeah, for the job that I do, I'm qualified and I'm good at what I do, but I've never pumped gas in my entire life. How the hell can I be overqualified for that? You know what I mean? It just seems like an asinine statement itself.
Well, I agree with you.
From an employer point of view, and you are 100% correct. Getting someone who's willing to come in and work for whatever you're offering should be great. You should be like, okay, you know, let's get you started.
Dude, seriously.
But also to Sam's point, unfortunately the greed in this country is so bad, it all comes down to bottom line. And if you have a resume and you've got two people and one of them would be great and they're willing to work, and yeah, they're fucking overqualified. They might have been a CEO or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Fucking doctor working on, you know, people's brains, and shit goes bad and they just need some money.
Yeah.
So they're willing to fucking come pump gas.
Dude, seriously.
Or you've got fucking Steve who dropped out of high school.
Damn it, Steve.
Fucking Steve,
at
dude.
At a fourth grade level.
Square your shit, bro. Again,
but he doesn't even know what minimum wage is. You know, they're going to take that guy
more money in 6 months.
Maybe
Steve, too dumb to think about a raise.
And I get that.
Also, costs far less to replace Steve than it does the doctor.
But at the same time, if you hired the doctor, we'll just bring
the doctor.
If we hire the doctor. And we make it very well apparent at the beginning of this endeavor when he does his interview, after his first initial interview, and you're talking about doing an introduction to the company interview,
here's the other thing,
and you set the guidelines of what the pay scale is going to be, and he still accepts, then you have him locked in. And it doesn't matter how much he asks, he ain't going to get it.
But here's the other factor. Doctor will eventually leave. Steve is likely to be a lifelong employee.
Yep.
And I get that. But at the same time,
when the doctor leaves, you have to hire someone else and train them, and that costs money. Whereas Steve, you hire him and you never have to train him again.
But at the same time,
again, you're making points that
you're not wrong. But that's just not the way it works.
It's just fucking stupid.
Dude, when you own your own company, you can run it the way you want.
And I wish I did.
But in this country...
You guys can come work for It's All Been Done Present.
Are you going to pay me to work for you?
Oh, when we start making that kind of money, yes.
Well, you know.
But you'll get paid minimum wage.
Yeah. And only minimum wage.
So I don't have to do manual labor and get paid minimum wage? And...
Oh, no. Yeah. You have to do manual labor because they need someone to move all the equipment.
Yeah, well, you know, my back's going out.
Act, dude.
Fuck, just let me turn on the machines. I don't give a fuck.
No. You're way underqualified for that.
All right, let me get coffee until somebody pisses me off and I'm going to throw it in their face and, you know, good times. Underqualified for getting coffee?
You can be the fluffer.
Well, there are worse jobs. Ah, crap. I was looking to get a little bit closer to Samantha, but, you know, whatever.
Okay, hey, Bob, you ready for your enthusiastic? Let me limber up my wrist.
I got carpal tunnel, bro.
You're fucked. There's no insurance.
I can't afford that shit.
But still, it's one of those things where I find that statement in and of itself to be overqualified as asinine.
There's a lot of problems with this country that need to be addressed. I mean, a lot. And the problem is because they're not being addressed, because every day new problems come up. And we're hyper-focused on these problems that ultimately mean nothing.
Which is, again,
we're not prioritized at all.
And that's the weird thing to me.
And
again,
because we're so divided.
Well, hear me out on this, too. It's like,
oh, do we have to?
Yes. one of my issues I've been running into.
Shut up.
One of my issues I've been running into when I first addressed that thought process of, you know, what exactly would make this country great. I started thinking, like I was saying, about the other countries in the world who are running into similar issues or have ran into these problems before. How is it that we are so up our own ass, governmentally speaking, that we cannot look at templates given throughout the entire world on issues that coincide with the majority of our issues and say, okay, how the fuck did they handle this? And go, you know what? Just like people do with the Bible, cherry pick the shit that works.
The simplest answer?
Because they're stupid.
No, it's because
it doesn't cost
America.
And it doesn't make
we
money.
We do it our way.
Exactly. Up our own ass.
Speaking of America.
Welcome to America. Go fuck
bravo
yourself.
Bravo to fucking America. We broke the record set in 2014.
For illiteracy?
For most measles outbreaks.
Oh, yeah.
Go America! We're number one!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking anti-vaxxers can fuck off.
Well, they'll be the first to die, so I'm not worried about it.
Their kids can fuck off. No, their kids...
No, that's harsh, bro.
No, because their kids... as a form of teenage rebellion, they're all going to get vaccinated.
dude, we're breaking out tonight. We're going to go to the hospital.
Oh, dude, those things
are so funny. I got a fucking doctor appointment.
Oh,
it's going to be so great.
We did a... one of the segments we do on our morning show is the good guy report. One day we actually featured this kid who went against his parents' wishes and got vaccinated. He turned 18 and went, fuck you, mom and dad, I'm getting a measles vaccine.
Fucking dodging bullets all my life, I finally made it, bitches.
They fucking disowned him.
Fuck him. Fuck them so hard. Go, little guy, I'm proud of you.
Oh, man.
Taking your own life and your own responsibility and stopping an outbreak. Good man.
You and I rebelled as teenagers. It was like, oh, I'm going to go have a smoke. I'm going to go try weed. I'm going to fucking drink. No, today's teenagers, I'm going to get a vaccination that will keep me alive.
Yeah, I was trying to find new ways to kill myself slowly.
Nope,
this kid's looking
live.
To stick around.
Fuck
and
millennials.
Brownie points to that kid. I am impressed.
Oh, he's not the only one. He was just I think one of the first
I think it's fucking inspiring, though. Kids, rebel against your parents. Go get vaccinated. I am certain there are thousands of doctors out there who will do that shit for you without even looking at your fucking age.
Look, eventually all kids realize that their parents are full of shit.
Well, yeah. But it's whether or not you despise your parents because of it, or you're like, nah, it's okay. This is something to be despised, folks.
I really don't think this guy despises folks. I just think he went, you know what?
Y'all are dumb.
This is really stupid. The science is behind it.
Yeah.
God's not going to save me. We had fucking eradicated measles in 2000.
Well, clearly not, but...
It was declared, because of the vaccinations,
right.
It was declared eradicated. Right around the same time, this fucking nut job doctor came out and went, you know what? These vaccines cause autism. And fucking...
Why did that sound like Bill Clinton?
It really did.
Autism is a bad thing.
So this doctor puts together this report and puts it out there.
Yeah.
And fucking Jenny McCarthy gets her claws into it and preaches it as gospel. And because she's on TV...
I really hate to be a misogynist, but I miss her when she was a quiet Playboy model.
When she was just on the page and she didn't have a voice. It was
no
just
voice.
That,
it wasn't a video. It was
said,
just,
hey, Danny,
yes.
Bookmark this.
Did. Dog-eared
like,
it.
It really sucks. Like, the more celebrities that are coming out as, like, anti-vaxxers, I'm like, oh, not you too.
Right.
It makes me so sad. Like, there was one that someone I'm a really big fan of, and I was like, no, why?
Why are you so stupid?
Samantha, was it The Rock?
No, thank goodness.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know what I would do. My whole identity would just crumble.
Jason Momoa and Dwayne Johnson decided to be anti-vaxxers. I think all womankind would fucking scream collectively.
It was as if 1,000 vaginas cried out in terror and then were suddenly...
No!
You just heard this collective squeezing shut of every vagina. What was that?
What the fuck?
Gotta be more like clank.
It's like someone closed a Ziploc bag too fast.
That's just the name of the episode. Someone closed a Ziploc bag.
Yes!
For the win.
Oh. I'll take it.
Oh, Bill Clinton's back.
Wow. Good times, good times.
So, other than all this dark shit, has anything fun happened in the last month?
Sam, would you like to take the floor?
Oh my goodness.
Game of Thrones is halfway over.
Fuck you.
Oh my gosh, I know. So yesterday, I had a really good weekend. Yesterday, Ryan and I went with our friends, because every week we go to our friend's house and, you know, watch an episode of TV and whatever. It started with the Game of Thrones like 2 seasons ago, and then in the off season we watch like Westworld, American Gods. We went through Hannibal again. So just, you know, so we like to keep up on like the current big stuff, and we were just waiting for this. Oh my gosh. So yesterday we went with those same friends and we went and saw Endgame.
Woo! Me too.
Well, and then we went and had dinner, and then we watched Game of Thrones.
Nice.
So it was the whole day. Like, my emotions were everywhere. Like I was watching Endgame, and I cried from sadness. I cried because I was happy. I cried because I was, like, just energized. And
she probably cried because she had to pee really bad.
Endgame was a real fucking emotional roller coaster. I loved every fucking movie.
Yeah, it was. I was all over the place. Oh my gosh. Like, I have like tears streaming down my face, and then next I'm laughing. I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. And there was one part, I won't spoil anything for those of you who are watching, but one part that I was so excited, I grabbed my boyfriend's hand and I was like vibrating in my seat like a 12-year-old. I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And I was so excited.
My wife actually jumped out of her seat and cheered at one point.
Nice.
And like everyone was staring at her, and she just didn't care. She had both of her eyes. She was like, yeah!
One,
Jesus. That at the same point that I was like.
One thing I want to square, though. This is kind of a spoiler and not. For those who haven't seen it, don't bother waiting till the end credits are over.
Oh, yeah, there's
don't
nothing.
Waste your fucking time. I wish somebody had spoiled that, because I sat through the whole fucking credits thinking like, oh, this should be interesting. Fucking, let's see how they follow it up.
It's funny. They treat it too, because it's like right when they're getting near the end, you hear this like metal clanging. Like,
yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, what?
It's like, give me something, you fuckers.
We had friends tell us ahead of time, so.
Which is bullshit.
I had no forewarning. I sat there, and we all kind of stand. Everyone who stayed, we all kind of stood up. And went, well,
we
that
got
was
fucked.
A letdown.
Well, it was funny because my wife and I were sitting there watching the fucking credits, and we're just cracking jokes at the credits. It's like, oh, I knew Tim Russell was on that fucking special effects crew. You can tell. You know, we're just coming up with stupid fucking
names.
Dialogues.
I always watch the credits and try and find the weirdest names.
Right. It's like,
me
dude.
Too.
It's like, who's got whose parents hated them the most?
Right. No shit. No shit. And it was like, yeah, we were just cracking jokes the whole way through. And then finally the last little bit rolls up and it was like, hurry, here we go. And tink, tink. And it's like, black. House music, house lights. Oh, I got fucked. And like five, six people around me started cracking up because they'd been listening to us commentate the credits. And then as soon as I was like, oh, we got fucked, they just started cracking up. It was like, oh, I should have said that out loud.
Marvel has us so trained.
So, yeah,
right, no shit.
We're all in agreement, Endgame was awesome.
Yes, yeah. I have issues, but I'm okay with it.
We have, they're kind of playing things close to the chest. We'll probably find out come San Diego Comic-Con what Phase 4 is going to look like. Because we have...
Well, obviously we got Spider-Man.
Well, Spider-Man's this year.
Yeah.
But they haven't announced next year's movies. And Marvel is doing this thing. They're trying to do at least 3 movies a year.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I want them to keep up on
that
pace.
But they haven't fucking announced anything, and shit's in production already.
Yeah.
So...
Well, again,
I have no idea what we're going to get starting next year. Phase 4 starts next year.
Endgame set us up for a decent amount of potentials.
Well, we
like,
have,
obviously, we're going to get sequels to the shit that's already been out.
Guardians
at some
of
point.
The Galaxy is the only thing I know that's in the works.
Right.
With Tim Gunn back at the helm.
Yeah, Disney
Tim
was
Gunn,
smart.
James Gunn.
Yep. Yep.
And they said, okay, we got to fucking get James Gunn. Because no one would fucking
touch like
it.
Tim Gunn. He's well, like, yeah. Avengers, make it work.
And on top of that, wasn't like Dave Bautista threatening to quit if he didn't?
Dude, everyone was.
Yeah.
But I have a theory, that Disney never actually fired him. It was just they said they did.
To play some suspense?
Exactly. To appease the people that wanted him fired.
There was actually lawsuits.
They already went through that whole process and said everything was fine. No one had an issue with it. It was already brought up. The board, everyone already knew about this, quote unquote, scandal. And, you know, so I think they just said that.
Well, he did say some pretty fucked up shit, but.
He did, but he also came out and said, look, I was young. I've grown.
Right.
Yeah, we all said but the thing was, shit. I'm so happy none of this shit was around when I was a teenager.
Fuck real,
oh my
dude.
God.
Oh, yeah,
so, but like, yeah, we all do stupid things. We all say stupid shit. And like you said, he learned, he grew. But everyone had already known about this.
Right.
Everyone already knew.
The
and then someone broke it on some website.
Yeah,
and I don't agree with anything he said. That's not what I'm saying.
But the thing
is,
neither does he.
Right.
Right.
Not anymore.
But the thing is we're in this era right now where everyone is super hypercritical of shit you did.
Well, and to be quite honest, it's one of those things. That's why I'm so glad I grew up in the age before all this bullshit came out. Like, you know, the social media online, because to be quite fair, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook or Instagram, you'll know my shares and my posts are maybe once in a blue fucking moon. And most of the time, I'm just sharing something else.
Lately, the shit that I post is kind of, it's essentially a commercial for
your,
my
and
show.
Travis.
Yeah. So I don't post a lot because I don't have a lot to say. If I post something that is from me,
it's usually something of importance. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many people on my feed that it's just garbage, 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 meme.
I just like to post funny shit.
Yeah, and that's
and I appreciate that.
I want if
pictures
you see
of my
something
dogs
from me on your feed, I want it to be something you're gonna go, oh, this is gonna brighten my day.
Right.
This is going to
be
fun.
Something that I can enjoy looking at and go, you know what? My friends are at least in a good enough place to get a giggle out of this. That makes me happy because it's fucking funny it's super cute or whatever, you know?
If you look at your feed and my shit comes up and you're having a shit day, you know this is going to, at least for a couple of minutes, make you forget.
Make you giggle for a second or
exactly.
two.
Exactly. That's what I hope. But I've also come to the realization that I post so much now that most people see my shit come up on the feed and just skip it.
Fuck this guy.
Fucking more commercials for sure. We get it. You're trying to be a radio star. Whoop-dee-doo.
Good for you, buddy.
But if you are on my feed, please listen because it's going to help us.
And share it, you fuckers.
Please
don't
share
be stingy.
It.
It's literally two pushes of a fucking thumb.
Just share.
Share.
Listen
post
to
now.
It. Share. Share. Listen to post it. I just learned something recently. If you listen to our stuff on YouTube, listen for more than 10 seconds. Because apparently what happens is if you don't listen for 10 seconds,
you don't get a view.
They wipe those views away.
Oh.
We had something at like 160 views not too long ago, and we were so excited because it was like one of the funniest things we did. And then like the next day it was like down to 60. And we're like, What?
People started.
What? You
didn't
can't
finish.
Take a view back. You can't fucking take a view.
No takesies backsies.
We found out what YouTube does is they kind of analyze how long people listen to, and if it's like less than 10 seconds, they wipe those views away.
Right.
So listen for like 11 seconds, and then you can dump.
Give it 15 just to be on the safe side.
You know
you
what?
Know.
Listen
just
to the whole
be supportive,
thing. It might
you
be fucking funny.
You might get a giggle.
You might
well,
have
the longer
or you might
listen,
unfriend
Jules
and Travis.
The higher up you go on, like, on the charts.
Way,
so.
Right. The longer the video, the more, I think, time is required to touch the view.
Here's the thing, too. We also understand that because it's just audio, people are less likely to watch.
You guys got to up your fucking YouTube game, bro.
We're working on it. We've got a couple irons in the fire. We're going to see how things work out.
What they really mean is a couple of GoPros on the charger.
No. Basically, what I'm saying is we got some blank paper and a brand new set of crayons.
Nice! So, my jam.
So that's where we're going.
Love the
guys, we've hit an hour.
That well, fuck. Nice.
And with that awkward silence, we're going to say goodbye and we'll talk again next week. And it won't be. It'll be next week. It won't.
Here's
be.
Fucking hoping it's next week, and James doesn't start crying like a bitch.
No, I'm gonna wait till the mics are off, and then I'm gonna cry.
Good call. Good call.
Okay, guys. Until next week. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcaster.